This is Dunks and Brass Stacks. Good afternoon. Time is 11:24.
Good morning to you, good sir.
Good morning, sir.
Greetings and salutations.
Greetings to you too.
Minister of Education, Sport, Youth and Culture, in the former Owen Arthur's administration, the Honorable Mayor Martley, QCMP, now Prime Minister, has achieved a well-deserved honor. As former Minister of Sport, she is fully aware a test match in the game of cricket can be grueling. Competitors play from 10 a.m. to 6:50 p.m. with lunch and a tea break. But the games can last up to 5 days. It's a test of endurance as well as skill. May 24, 2018 was her rare test match. When, as captain of the team, she left all the balls on the off stump, winning the test 30-0. Miss Martley is just under 90 days and she has in office, and she has already silenced her critics by showing what leadership is all about. However, madam, the ambitious and articulate Prime Minister, the Honourable Mayor Amor Martley, should also remember the words of Solomon in Proverbs 27, verse 5 to 6. As some of her colleagues are levying critics towards the leader of the opposition, the Honourable Bishop Avley, so therefore, why I chose to make reference to Proverbs 27, 5, 6, it read as follows. Very short. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Fearful are the wounds of friendship, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Over to your good self, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Being what I would call open. I like this term about open rebuke. Being honest with your feelings, expressing your thoughts and sharing what it is that you, how you feel about a particular situation. I think that's always important. And then the point on leadership and those things. I think you've said a good much. Do you have anything else to say? You're not there. Oh, this is Don to Brass Stacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you, Ms. Gill?
I'm doing well, thanks.
All right, good morning to you. Good morning, Mr. Johnston, and good morning to all listeners. Ms. Gill, it is unfortunate that in these times, the issue of the law of Moses and Jesus' law keep popping up ahead all the time. It's only yesterday I was reading the Bible, you know, and this thing is prophetic. I was reading about Romans chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul was talking about fools. And he said this, Mr. According to Christ, nothing is unclean. But he said, if you're going to eat food that will offend your brother, don't eat it. It doesn't mean you don't eat the food at all. And the Apostle Paul made it very clear, it's a food. And mention nothing is unclean. The Apostle Paul went on to say that the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace.
And joy in the Holy Ghost. I read that last night, sir.
You know, I do not know where this thing about the law of Moses and eating pork come.
No, but you must understand that people read, and as one of the previous callers said, he reads, but he doesn't always understand. And he said there's a demarcation between reading and understanding. And you will always have, and I remember there were times when I read and I didn't understand. There were times when I read and there was not that real level of interpretation. And there's still times now when I read something that I would have read 10 years ago with far different revelation than I would have had prior. So, but what I don't do, I don't necessarily fault another person for his or her interpretation. What I don't like is when a person believes that their interpretation is the only interpretation. Because we are human beings, we have had different experiences, and a verse may jump out to you differently than it may jump out to another person.
I can give an example, right?
But I want to just respond further. I didn't comment on everything Mr. King would have said, because he said a whole lot. But that thing about what you eat and what you drink, you shouldn't really, I think it was Colossians 2.
It shouldn't be an issue.
Colossians 2 talks about not do not be too bothered in rules and regulations and what to eat and what not to eat. A lot of it is more your heart than the rituals, because the Jewish culture was very big on following the rule of the day and the regulations. But in this time, we've been freed of that. Those persons who believe. Continue.
Let me get an example, right, Lisa? All congregations have brothers and sisters in Korea. And in Korea, they just eat dog. Dog is a delicacy. Now, everyone else from Barbados and a bit like Korea. Those brothers will not eat that in front of us. Because it would offend us. But that don't mean they eat it. You understand?
Okay.
That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. If you're going to do or say something or buy something that you just eat, but a guy is poor, dog, monkey, and they're going to offend you, brother. Yes, do it. It has nothing to do with the law of Moses. And I can shut it off. I can shut off. Nobody says. Mm-hmm. I stopped to 15. I didn't win that too. They had an issue concerning the same law with circumcision. And people were saying, unless they get circumcised, they won't be safe. And they put it to the older man. And the older man had discussions, intense discussions, went up to Jerusalem, mm-hmm. until they get this thing sorted out. And the Pharisees say that it is necessary to command the people to observe the law of Moses. And the apostles then say, listen, man, God gave these people the Holy Spirit, the same we give thee. And he made no distinction between them and us. When you put this yoke on these people, mm-hmm. with the yoke of the law. Mm-hmm. And he went on to say, we cannot bear the forefathers. But as the forefathers, and they can bear until it's close to the law, how do you expect somebody that doesn't know what God will be? And yeah. I just think popping up all the time. I can't understand, but that's what they're wrong with the hate. Or the dog with the wicked. And let me just say this here, right? The most important thing Jesus is preaching is about God's kingdom and what it was do for mankind. I heard when you start this morning, you start about the economy. The only way to solve all solutions in the world is to move his kingdom, man. Nobody yet. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah chapter 10, 23 says these words. The prophet Jeremiah said, I well know, O Jehovah, it does not belong to man. It does not belong to man who is walking to direct his step. All directing it and controlling this world doesn't belong to us. Mm-hmm. We will never, ever, ever get it controlled. We have to turn to the kingdom of God and righteousness and start worrying about eating food. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you so much. This is Dr. Rastax. Rastax, good afternoon. It's actually morning, 11:35. Dr. Rastax, are you there? Dr. Rastax, good morning.
Good morning. Am I all on?
Yes, you are, sir.
Yeah. Nice hearing you, Miss Gill. This is the first time I will be speaking to you.
What a pleasure.
And before I congratulate you, I want to just ask you to take your nation and look at the front page, directors held, senior Goddard staff
detained in drug bus. Yes.
Why I have called your attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
I have read your articles. I think you used to contribute in The Nation, and I think you still do. Do you?
Oh, no. You're speaking about Lisa Cummins.
No, Lisa Cummins. No,
my name is Lisa Gale. Yes.
Lisa Gale. Okay. My name is Astor B. Watts, and I do not hide my initials. I'm a member of the Democratic Labour Party.
Yes, I know about you, sir. It's a pleasure to have a conversation with you.
You have?
Yes.
Thank you. And I want to congratulate you regards your independence. And that is that the good that you are doing will not be incurred in your bones, but it will live on to posterity.
Ooh.
Because I've always been told as a school, going to Sunday school, the truth will set us free.
Mm-hmm.
And to have said this morning that the Democratic Labour Party did some good for the people of Barbados is a streak of fresh air coming from people like you, not like you, because you are independent in my calculation, but I am hoping that David Ellis might not look at it and sperm and would like to castigate you for your independence. I sincerely hope he does not attempt to do that.
I don't think he would. We were here to talk about, you know, issues that relate to the economy, national issues, issues of import,
yes,
and share our views and perspectives.
Well, that is what I like, one with an independent outlook. You can't always be right. You have an opinion and you express it sincerely, and that is what I have done all my life. And being a member of the Democratic Labour Party does not mean that I have not had to observe that I do not agree with what Errol Barrow said, what Sandiford said, what David Thompson said, but that did not make us an enemy. I was an active member because I'm no longer an active member, because my last birthday, I was 96 years of age, and I have to thank the Almighty
indeed
for giving me this privilege.
Privilege indeed.
I can still think intelligently.
Yes, you sound so cognitively blessed.
I can communicate, but God has been responsible for that. Mm. And I thank him morning, noon, and night.
Wow.
Now, let me draw your attention to what I am taking objection to with the front page of the Nation newspaper. This is the those who do reporting. What are they called again? The journalists, they say that senior Gordon staff detained in drug bust. And they have not given you the names of the people which were found on the boat ecstasy. They have retained the names, and they tell you husband and wife. And they have not given you names. What I am saying? Investigative journalism.
But you don't think there's going to be a subsequent report when things are final, when there has been a charge or anything like that? Normally, whenever there's an accident, you hear the identity hasn't been given and those things prior to, and then at some point it is shared.
That did not come here. They just said.
Senior.
Just said husband and wife. And that is what I'm taking objections to.
So suppose tomorrow the names come out.
Oh, if the names come out tomorrow, I would appreciate it. I'm not going to apologize, because journalism, investigative journalism, start right, do everything right, and you will still sell that newspaper. But if you allow some of them to hide and dodge, you do not get the results that you look forward to. And that is a terrible, terrible short-sightedness on those who did this. Her name is Maria Bradshaw. She should not half mess it.
Suppose she did it and her editors told her not at this time. It is possible.
Well, the L has gone at the foot of whoever that is.
Okay.
And that is not good journalism. So much for that. But let me then give you another thing which I observed. I buy the Nation newspaper every day because in 1973, my stepson and a friend of his worked laboriously on Fridays and Saturdays to promote the Nation newspaper, which is enjoying a particular position at the moment, although I don't agree with them what they write sometimes. They are not broad-minded. They're not independent. And they do not do what the old people say, give Jack his jacket. They hide behind the scenes, and they do not come out and be upfront in that. But the paper here says, PSV owners want fuel ease. This is a little political, because I have always liked to discuss politics, the pros and cons. And what they are saying, that some of them are realizing that when they do their survey at the gas tank, at the gas bill, and look at it carefully, and with the other things that they have to pay, the present situation is not a very good one. It is a gloomy one. It outstrips what was being done with the NSRL, and that is not good for those people who run these vehicles on the highway. And it might have to ask the young lady who is the present Prime Minister of Barbados to check on it and see what can be done, because they say we want fuel ease.
There has to be some. They have made a representation. I understand. I think I heard just a couple days when driving home, the head of the, not the Transport Association, but there was a gentleman who was representing that entity and said that they have called for a meeting. And then subsequent to that, I heard the Prime Minister herself say publicly that there was a move to have a discussion. And I believe that, you know, seriously, this sector needs a certain level of intervention if they're going to continue to benefit as private sector members. Their plight must be considered in some form or fashion. So they must keep the representation up and ensure that there's a discussion, not only necessarily with the Prime Minister, but the Minister of Transport and Works, their proposal and to ask some questions and to see how there can be some carve out specifically for that sector.
Yes, I certainly agree. And I want to say one further thing to you. Keep your independence. And if you keep it, God is on your side and you shall overcome. Before you go, I have had you on my waiting list for many... I remember having spoken to you. I think it was an afternoon at headquarters, I think, if my memory serves me well.
At headquarters? DLP headquarters?
Yeah.
I've never been there.
You've never been there.
I try to stay away from. I mean, personally, I like politics a lot, and I like to hear what's happening and to see, you know, what impacts decision making, etc. But generally, as a person, I try myself not to be a part of certain politics, I would say.
But okay. Let us erase that. Mm-hmm. But what I was thinking of, that with your broad independence and the way you view things, I had intentions after having read most of your articles.
No, remember, it's not my articles. Lisa Cummings is the one who wrote it, The Nation.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking that. But your name always figured as an intelligent, independent person.
Okay,
and
thank you.
I thought that I should ask you. You don't have to be a member of the Democratic Labour Party, mm-hmm. but I have asked people. I don't ask them who to vote for, mm-hmm. or neither do I ask them what their religion is, mm-hmm. neither do I ask them. As long as they're qualified to speak on a topic, mm-hmm. I usually ask them to come and spend a 15 or half hour to deliver a topic of their choice, mm-hmm. and they do not have to remain to shake hands or to indulge in any association with the members of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And that is good, because years ago, I had Colin Jordan to come and speak. He came and spoke. Mm-hmm. He did an excellent job. And that is my policy. I don't ask you who you belong to, what mm-hmm. you do, or what. What I do ask, if you believe that there is an Almighty, and if you accept that, I appreciate it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe there is an Almighty. I believe in the Almighty.
That's right.
The one and living God,
but
Almighty.
But you can give it a thought that if you will sometime accept my invitation to come and give a lunchtime Friday lecture.
Whoa. Thank you, Mr. Astor B. Watts. It has been my pleasure to talk to you. And, I mean, I give thanks for your, you know, for you and for what you've done as it relates to politics in Barbados, and for discussion and for communication, because we've had a lot of good points that have come out of the several speakers that have graced the stage of the we call them the Democratic Labour Party lectures on Friday, or the Astor B. Watts lectures. So it has been a privilege to talk to you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. It's now 10 minutes after 12 p.m. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. It's now 10 minutes after 12, 11 minutes after 12 p.m., it's Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Yes.
Hi. Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. Don't want to get into a religious argument. I think what we have to do as a, as people, we respect that the earth is populated, you know, so vastly with so many different races, so many different religions. And I think when mankind learns to respect each other's views and different, you know, faiths, then, you know, peace would come in the world. And that's not only from the Christians, that's from Muslims, Hindus, whoever. I mean, there's the Buddhists, you know, there are probably so many different faiths we don't even know about. So, you know, I was on the internet some time back, and I would have seen some Hindus, I don't know if you could say, protesting some Christians. And something that the Lord has shown me, I was so shocked to see that Hindus, God had revealed to them, you know, and it really brought to my mind, you know, when Christ had walked the earth, you know, he said to them, he said to the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, that, you know, God is able of these stones to raise a seed for Abraham. So don't think because you to say that, you know, we have Abraham as our father. You know, nobody has no legitimate right, as far as I see it, into the kingdom of heaven. You know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But I really called it to discuss the issue about the eating of what the gentleman was calling, you know, the forbidden food. Now, there are many Christians and Sunday worshippers that is, that they say God is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But there has always been this issue with Christ being crucified and the law being nailed to the cross. And I suspect, I don't want to judge anybody because we have all been to that point where we wonder, is it that we can do anything in the sense of eating, you know, anything and stuff like that. No, the same Bible says, which I take as a clue, that Christ said to the disciples, or to the Pharisees, I think it was, you strain at a gnat. You know, we would probably call like a little fly in a glass of water, but swallow a camel. And a camel was one of the forbidden animals. Am I correct?
I'm not familiar with the camel part.
Right, but you know, in the Old Testament, they said that there were certain animals you could eat if they divided the hoof or blah, blah, blah. Right, so the camel was one that was forbidden that you could not eat. And he said, you straight out of a gnat, but swallow a camel. Because there are things that would have been hidden from not only the black race, because for any time the popes took over control, they sought to destroy the Bible's history. That's what the historians say. So the Bibles were burnt and the people were kept in darkness because they didn't want the people to have the knowledge. So, if the Ten Commandments have been done away with, why don't we just stop prosecuting people? Let anybody do what they feel like doing. Let anarchy prevail. So, people use conveniently the scriptures that they want in their corner. Because the same Bible says, whose God is their belly? And we know that people worship their stomach, what they're putting. So, when the verse says, you know, the kingdom of God is love, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost, and not food and drink. It's saying, you know, don't let's focus on these things. Don't let's get consumed with food, but let's focus on the Holy Spirit. Let's focus on living in love and in unity. You understand?
Yeah.
So the whole thing about this thing, let's stop being hypocritical. We know, we all that would have grew up in the Western world and would have been exposed to eating pork and ham and all the rest of it, we know how good it tastes. But that was a temptation when the foreparents on this side were in slavery. That's all they gave us. They said they gave us the entrails from the leftover when the slave masters give the belly to the slave, and they took it and they made the delicacy, what we call pudding, where they stuffed it. So it's something to study. We don't need to argue. But you know, ham, it was forbidden, and it was one. Even if you listen to the prodigal son in the New Testament when he gave the parable. He ended up living in a pen
of the
swine.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the most forbidden things for the Jews. And how comes, even in that time it was mentioned, then how comes now it is acceptable? And this December 2015, I don't know the story fully, but they said on December the 25th, there was some person that went in, he went in anyway to the temple and sacrificed a pig in the temple on December 25th. So we have to be very careful. We need to stop following tradition and find out why we are doing what we are doing. So you have a blessed day, and I hope the discussion continues so that we can learn and grow from each other.
Thank you so much. It's interesting that you said you hope the discussion continues and somebody here saying, I don't want to be hearing church things. So, but this is what the discussion is about today, primarily. Just a couple, one or two discussions on politics and other. But the predominant discussion today has been on different things in the Bible and different interpretations. There are a number of WhatsApps. There was a lady who asked about a burst mean as well. That's a little ways down, so I will have to go back and dig for that one. It's now 12:16. You're on the air. Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. You're on
the
air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi. Hello. I am a first-time caller to the program.
A special welcome to you.
Thank you. But I wanted to make a response to your third-to-last caller.
Mm-hmm.
In his final statement, he said that we should focus on being a part of the kingdom of God and stop focusing on what people eat, because this is not important for our salvation.
Say that again. You want to respond to the last
third-to-last caller.
Who said we should focus more on the kingdom.
On being a part of the kingdom.
And something else?
Stop focusing on what people eat.
Yes.
Because that's not important for our salvation.
Yes.
So, let me start by asking a question. How did sin first enter the world?
Sin is disobedience to God. So anytime there was a change from that, there was sin.
Okay, but what was the first example of sin in the world that we are aware of?